Okay, can we start? Everybody's here. It's a great pity that you are not sitting here. Somehow like it's cool a little bit. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, my dear colleagues, allow me to welcome you all to this very interesting conference session with the title Quality Management and Model Implementation 1. My name is Maria Dologova and I will chair the session. I come from the Statistical Office of the Slovak Republic, Bratislava, where I am responsible for corporate strategy and integrated management system focusing on risk, on quality, of course, etc. And especially I am responsible for further development of the quality management system according to ISO 9001 standard integrated with ES Code of Practice. So now back to our session Quality Management and Model Implementation 1 covers five very interesting contributions. They deal with the topic from different point of views and from different level point of views also. We have here contributions focusing on a systematic approach to quality management. It means on implementation of TQM, Total Quality Management, according to international model CAF, model of excellence. I have to say that organizations, if they implement TQM, usually they orient themselves to EFQM, and that's why this contribution is extremely interesting because this is something extraordinary for us. Then we will focus on more complex approach on implementation and certification of management systems in order to provide evidence that the institution is committed not only to quality and security, which is quite normal, but especially to privacy. So this three combination is very, very interesting and challenging also. Then we will focus on a very important requirement, which is essential for achieving an effective QMS, and this is on integration of risk management into statistical production processes. Then we will focus on statistical business process itself, so we go down to details, and the use of adapted GSBPM to describe the process in more detail by adding main tasks to each sub-process, it means by adding third layer to GSBPM. And finally, we will focus on standardization on management and context of documentation. I believe that documentation is for sure not the most favorable activity in our organizations, but I think this is extremely important, not because it is about standardization, but because it also prevents, to some extent, knowledge from walking out of our NSI when our super experts are leaving. So I'm sure that all the presentations and the discussion that will follow after the session, so please not after each presentation, but after the complete session, directly from you, from the audience, or via Twitter, which is a new technology already announced in plenary session. And I hope that the presentations will really be an inspiration for all of us and added value, and we could take some ideas also to implement in our offices. So before we start with the presentations, I believe that we will all be very happy if our mobile phones remain silent. So please do not forget to switch them off. So my introduction. And now let me introduce the first presentation prepared by Fire Kanlic from Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina. And the title is Quality Management System in the Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Implementation of CAF Model, Experiences and Future Challenges. Let me say a few words about Fahir. Fahir is head of Department for Industry and Construction Statistics, Business Statistics Sector in the Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina. He was coordinator in process of development short-term statistics in various twinning and multi-beneficiary projects, as well as other projects. He acted as teaching assistant in courses on statistics at University of Sarajevo and other schools and universities. He is author of various papers on statistics as well as presenter in international conferences. He is member of IOS and ISI. Fahir, the floor is yours.
Okay, so first. The second one.
Yeah.
Good morning, dear colleagues. As Maria said, my name is Farid Kalnic, and I'm coming from the State Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina. And today I'll present my paper, Quality Management System in the Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina, with the example of implementation CAF model of excellence and our experiences, as well as future challenges and perspectives. Here is short content of my presentation. I will just tell you some basic information regarding quality management system in the Agency of Statistics, and I will skip to the main results that we achieved through implementation of CAF model in the agency. As we know, quality plays a very important role in official statistics. Modernization of processes also requires modernization of official statistics, especially from the quality perspective. Development of official statistics requires from national statistical institutes to pay full attention to data users and as main evaluators of our products and our work. In terms of implementation systematic quality management, we have to take care about the quality of processes, quality of products, and institutional environment in official statistics. Regarding the Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina, it's a national statistical institute responsible for production of official statistics for the Bosnia and Herzegovina. Having in mind complex administrative structure of our country, which is consisted from two entities, we have three statistical institutions, two at the one at the state level and two at the entity levels. So the state agency has coordination role in statistical system of Bosnia and Herzegovina. From the quality point of view, in my opinion, quality of processes and the products at the state level has really entities has a big influence on the quality of the state statistics. The state agency is dedicated to quality through the mission, vision, and also strategic priorities. And the state agency adopted a strategy for development of statistical system 2020, which is based and takes into account the requirements of EU code of practice, total quality management models, and also quality assessment framework. In 2016, the state agency adopted the policy and program of the quality management in the Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is which can be shown here as a process through three main steps that we already seen them yesterday. For total quality management, we decided to use a common assessment framework framework as a model, excellence model of EFQM. Then for institutional framework of quality, we of course have to apply EU code of practice, and for framework for ensuring the quality of statistical products, quality assessment framework. Looking in the past, in 2011, the state agency performed the global assessment of statistical system in BNH. In fact, the Eurostat experts performed this assessment, which also served as a basis for assessment the quality in our institution, but also this assessment gave us very useful instructions and recommendations for further improvements. In 2012, the state agency adopted implementation of EU code of practice, and we produced the quality reports for all indicators that we produce and for which the data are delivered to Eurostat. In 2014, Eurostat conducted a sector review for business statistics and labor statistics, so we also got the recommendations for these two statistical domains regarding improvements the qualities. And in 2016, regarding the metadata structure, in our institution we adopted and applied Euro SDMX metadata structure, and we produced metadata files, which are also delivered to Eurostat via ESMS metadata handler. In 2016, we decided to implement CAF in our institution, and in these days we are preparing for the peer review, which will be held probably by the end of this year or at the beginning of 2019. By the end of 2015, we got the new management in the agency. So our management supported us to implement CAF in order to make a self-assessment of our institution and to make the results which will be used as inputs for their plan for improvement, the quality of processes, products, and also environment in our institution. So we established a working group for CAF, which was consisted of 8 members and one president and one secretary. We had the representatives from each statistical sector in this group and different positions. They had different positions in our institution. And we defined the activities through this CAF implementation, and the most of activities were defined in criteria leadership, partnership and resources, people, and strategy and planning. In total, 135 activities were defined, out of which during the prioritization process we selected 15 for quick wins in short-term period up to 1 year, and 16 key activities in 2 years. I will just briefly show you the lowest and the highest CAF scores based on results that we achieved through CAF implementation. The lowest scores are given to subcriteria 1, 2, 1, 3, and 8, 2, related to management of managing the institution, motivation of people, and also social responsibility, while the highest scores are given to subcriteria related to customer oriented or user orientation, and also quality of our products that we present or prepare for our users. Here are shown the radar graphs for CAF results in the agency by criteria and subcriteria. I will not go into details, but you can see that the leadership as a criteria according to CAF methodology got the lowest score, 31, and the highest scores are given to partnership and resources, and also processes and customer-oriented results. While for subcriteria, you can see that 1.2, subcriteria 1.3, and 8.2, as I already mentioned, got the lowest scores. What we achieved implementing CAF in our institution, I'll just briefly mention the main outputs. In my paper, you can read more detailed information. As results achieved through activities, implementation of activities defined through quick wins, we adopted a set of documents which helped us to clearly define certain procedures in our institution. Then we accelerated the processes of important documents approval by our management. Then duties and responsibilities of our staff are defined more precisely. Communication between staff and management is also improved to certain extent, of course, and some activities become more transparent. We organize, or our management organizes more frequently the meetings with our staff, and the number of trainings of staff in the agency is increased. Also, we prepared the plan for implementation of CAF activities defined through CAF results in 2016 and plan for next conducting the CAF. Then for key activities, we achieved the following results. We defined some strategic documents like internal acts to prevent conflict of interest in our institution. We prepared the draft amendments to the law on statistics, And we established a good cooperation with some of very important administrative sources for our institution, which will which data will contribute to increase the quality of our products and also processes. We developed a strategy for risk management in the agency and procedures on financial management and control. Currently, the most of activities selected or chosen as quick wins or key activities are fully or partially implemented, and one activity for quick wins and five activities for key activities are expected to be implemented by the end of this year. What we also wanted to do, we wanted to make mapping the results of common assessment framework by criteria and subcriteria with the principles of EU code of practice, and to see how we make progress regarding implementation of requirements through EU code of practice principles. One of the elements that is defined through CAF model is that we should establish the user satisfaction survey as a regular survey, which will help us to improve or to measure how our users see our work and to measure the quality of products and processes in our institution. So we decided to conduct this survey in biannual periodicity. First survey we conducted in 2017. The results that we wanted to get we wanted to get the results on quality of statistical data, usage of our website, and the quality of our website, on which we publish almost all our results that we produce, and also we wanted to get information of demographic characteristics of our users. So, the results of this survey had an impact on the quality of our processes and the products in our institution. We intensified communication with our users, we organized more meetings with them, we improved the quality of our services, we prepared the new website with all features that they asked for, and we improved the quality for certain statistical areas like deadlines, periodicity, and so on. And as I mentioned, the metadata reports are also published on our website. What are the key challenges for our institution? As I mentioned, we have three statistical institutions in our statistical system. In my opinion, we have to make to work in a coordinated way, and of course that the quality of products and processes at the lower level will have an impact on the quality of the state level. We do not use sufficiently IT solutions in our institution. We have inadequate number of staff in all three statistical institutions, and it's a big challenge for us. And unfortunately, in our society, we have a problem with insufficient awareness on significance and rule of statistics, which have to be increased, and we have to contribute or to work hardly motivate our users to believe or to make trust in our work. What are the main perspectives we expect from our entity statistical institutions contribute to increase the quality management of our institution? Then we have to standardize the processes in the agency through full implementation of GSBPM model. We have plan also to implement internal quality audit in our institution. Then we have to continue with conducting a CAF in our institution. The next one is planned by the end of this year, and we'll have to intensify the use of administrative data sources, which will, in our opinion, contribute to improvement the quality of our products. Thank you very much for your attention, and if you will have some questions after the other presentations.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for a very nice contribution on CAF. So let us continue with the second presentation prepared by Doe Koerstra from Statistics Netherlands, and the title is very exciting, almost there, the way to certification. Doe is head of the quality and auditing department in Statistics Netherlands. for 6 years already. His task was to introduce ISO 9001, ISO 27001, and privacy certification to the organization, and of course to get certified. As he says himself, and we will see this in his presentation, they are almost there. So David, the floor is yours.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Douwe Kuurstra. First, my title was almost there, but can you ever be there? Continuous improvement we talk about, so you can't be there. So the subtitle is The Way to Certification. Why certification? It has to do with trust, but on the other hand, it has to do with to improve your organization. I think we can improve our organization but get certified. On what areas we will be certified? Privacy protection, that's very important for us as statisticians. People have to trust us that the data is correct, is in place by us, and nobody will see it. Privacy protection and information security, there's a big link. Where is privacy without information security? So we said we want to have an ISO 27001 certificate on information security. And then we thought, how can we improve the quality of our products, and what is it exactly? And we had already audits, but yeah, it wasn't good enough, internal audits. So we thought, if we take ISO 9001, we can improve the quality of the process, of the management process. And that was for me very important, because I thought we can win on that level. I show you the way we did it in Holland. The way we do it is, of course, has to do with culture. The culture in your country is different from the culture in my country. The culture, even in Statistics Netherlands, can be different in different places. And the way we how are things organized? Our IT systems are organized on central level, and the way we produce statistics is more on the lower level. This is the way we did it by privacy. We had a checklist, and we started. Like your car in the garage, when you go for a checkup from your car, you go to the garage and you think it's correct. Then someone comes with a checklist and he says, okay, this is correct, but that isn't. He repairs it for you, and then your car is okay. Now, it is a little bit different. There came a guy with a checklist, and he said, you have to do something on this and that and that. So we did it, and then he proves it's okay, and he comes back every year. We started very small with some processes, and then we made a big jump to last year. All statistical processes are proven privacy proof. And the only difference between 90% and 100% are our internal systems, from personal affairs, financial affairs, about ourselves. So I think it will be rather easy to come to 100%. And also the new European law is not too difficult for us. Information security. First, we sat around the table. What do they want from us? A group of wise people are sitting around the table, and they have a checklist, and they say, what's missing and what's okay? Okay, these elements are missing, so we have a time from 2-3 years to prepare those things, to make them correct. And then we had an audit last year, and they say, okay, everything is very good. You have your certificate. Last one. That's me, up there. Was very tricky. My colleagues are under here, you can't see them, but they are shouting to me, left, right, faster, slower, because ISO 9001, what is it exactly? What's written in those words? What does it mean? It's a compromise between 100 countries, and then translated into Dutch in a general way. And what does it do? What does it say for your organization? You have to think about it, and we didn't agree inside the organization. Some people were very strict, but there's written this, so you shall do this. And other people, like myself, are not so strict. And they say, this is the meaning. You should act in this way, in a way like this. So we had a struggle. So it didn't go too fast in the beginning. And the first started to document a lot of processes. Now we hardly document anymore because we think it isn't necessary. If you can prove it in different ways, a lot of things are already documented in the history of an organization. So the process is easier, it's going faster, it's going cheaper. But yeah, it's a tricky process. Especially if you see the role of my department. In effect, I am responsible for achieving the results of the organization, but I'm not responsible for what the different directories are doing. It's their responsibility. So you have all the time, you're trying to balance between advising, between showing the right way, and to step back, because it has to be their way, it has to do with, in the future, they have to do it also. So if they do it my way, they won't do it anymore in 2 or 3 years. Now, if they do it their way and it becomes normal for them, then they will adopt it in their way of life. And I think next year, if you ask them about ISO, maybe a few know about it, but most of them shouldn't know too much about ISO, but they should work according to ISO. That's the most important. We are doing internal audits, we are doing external audits in the second quarter of last quarter of this year, and I'm certain the whole organization, every level of the organization will be certified. So we are almost there. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the excellent contribution. I can only say I fully agree with what you said about ISO standard and the approach you have chosen. Thank you. So the next contribution of the session was prepared by Jolanta Minkevica and Ieva Pauluka from Central Statistical Bureau of Latvia, Statistical Methodology and Quality Department. And the name of the presentation is Quality and Risk Management in the CSB of Latvia. Let me say a few words about those now two presenters. Jolanta is director of the department. She has been working for the CSB for more than 20 years. During her career, she has been involved in many in-house development projects, including elaboration of new statistics law, which came into force in 2016. She is responsible for quality management issues as well as for coordination of the national statistical system. She is a member of Latvian Association of Statisticians. Ieva is head of quality division in the same department. She joined the CSB 5 years ago from a private sector. And since then, she has been the main driving force in elaboration of the CSB quality management system. Jolanta, Ieva, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Maria, for introduction. Dear colleagues, I will start a bit similarly as Statistics Netherlands. You will see that we are having a very similar statistical culture in Latvian office. Why? So last year we acquired 27,001 certificate. And this year we are heading to acquire 9,001 certificate. And now I would like to tell you shortly what do we have in our office concerning risk management and quality management and how we try to integrate those two things together. So let's start with risk management. We have a risk management process. We define the way how we identify risks, how we manage risks, how we report them, how we evaluate risks. And of course, we have as well a risks register. There was a team of dedicated people in-house which identified all the risks. The risks were evaluated and treatment actions were defined. And then we grouped all the risks in four categories: financial, strategic, hazard risks, and operational risks. And if somebody probably wonders what are hazard risks, those are risks which possess a level of threat to health, to life, to environment, or to infrastructure. Okay, and then this is how the first page of our quality management system looks like in our office. As you can guess, it follows a generic statistical business process model. We modified a bit the second level in order to make it more close and understandable to our employees. My message is that all processes are mapped. What it means? It means that there is description. Who does what, in what way, and in what sequence. There is also a risk management process described in this quality management system. When we mapped our processes, we tried to standardize them. I will give you an example. For example, if we take a process collect, and one of its sub-processes, data collection, then there are five ways defined how we collect data for business statistics, for social statistics, for consumer price indices, and how we collect data from administrative sources, and as well how we collect data from other CSV products. A process owner decides how detailed he wants the process to be described. And if we come back to the same example of collect process and the data collection sub-process, then we go to business statistics, for example. And now, now you can see third level, one, two, three, fourth level processes. And one of these are change of NACE codes to enterprises which reports for business statistics. And on fourth level, there is a process scheme, and there is a description how one shall act when the change of NACE code is required. Requirements and risks, how they live together in our system. We decided for ourselves that we will incorporate in those process schemes and process description all the requirements, and also requirements concerning quality and the requirements concerning the risks management. I will give you an example. One requirement which a European Statistics Code of Practice has is that we use administrative sources whenever possible. And of course, a risk is there that there are administrative data, but we don't use them. And to overcome this negative risk, we have a process scheme. When we plan a project, and by project, we assume every survey and every calculation, we go obligatory process steps, and one of these process steps are, so we look in-house whether we have similar data which could be used for our project, and then we have obligatory steps that we look if other statistical institutions in Latvia has similar data, or administrative data owners have similar data that we could use. now I would like to also share positive sides of risk, because you know there is negative risk and the risk opportunity. And in this, concerning this requirement about administrative data, risk opportunity would be that existing administrative data are always used. And we took this risk opportunity when we elaborated our statistics law some years ago. We were so brave that we made an article on use of administrative data. And this article says that statistical institution in Latvia is not allowed to contact respondent if the data already exists in country. Of course, we know that there are cases when we can't use administrative data. For example, because of timeliness, if administrative data are not yet ready at that time we need them, or there is different definitions, all those six cases are stated in the law when we can't use, and only in those six cases we are allowed to contact respondent. So this is how we used this risk opportunity. And now I will give the floor to my colleague, which will show you, which my colleague will show you some more examples how our quality management system integrates this quality management and risk management requirements. Ieva.
So I will show you another example how the requirements and these risk treatment actions are dealt with in our quality management system. One of the risks that we have identified and included in our risk register is that we misunderstand user needs. At the same time, the ISO standard 9001 has requirement that it's necessary. We have to understand and we have to be sure that we produce the result which meets the customer requirements. So here, this is a scheme for the elaboration of official statistics program, and there we have one step that we always get agreement of our customers on the latest versions of official statistics program, the last version of it, before we submit it to the Cabinet of Ministers for the final approval. Now here's another process concerning processing of customer or user requests. It shows how we deal with user requests in cases if they have any inclarities. For example, it lacks the necessary details or deadline. And in all these cases, we always communicate with our customers to discuss and approve their scope of their request. We are proud of our quality management system, which is always accessible to each of our employee online 24/7. And each employee should not search for the newest version of the process, as our quality management system portal includes the latest version of the process. At the same time, quality management system we treat as our institutional knowledge base. Of course, we also have challenges. For now, our quality management system incorporates all requirements of ISO 9001, but there are other requirements in-house. And therefore, for the long-term goal, we want to create one single and user-friendly system which incorporates all these different requirements applicable to the CSB of Latvia. So thank you for the attention.
So thank you very much for both presenters for a very interesting contribution on risk management, the integration into our system, quality management system. So let us continue with the next contribution prepared by Maria João Gilao from Statistics Portugal. And the title is describing the statistical business process using the GSBPM as a reference, challenges in a process changing environment. Maria is a former director of the Planning, Control and Quality Unit at Statistics Portugal. She has been involved in quality management at the ESS for several years. For example, in the preparation of ES Code of Practice, Quality Assurance Framework and the peer reviews. She has been a trainer in ESTP courses since 2001. And she has been a member of the program committee of the European Conference on Quality and Official Statistics, also of this one. Since January this year, she is a member of Statistics Portugal board. Maria, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Good morning for everybody. Thank you for the introduction. I will talk a little bit about something that is not very popular inside statistical office, which is documentation, as you all know. But still, it's also a big success in the conferences because we all work very well together within NSIs in what concerns sharing experiences in documenting our processes. And in our case, we have started long ago to documenting our process, and within the evolution of our quality management system. So documentation was always very important, a very important dimension. What I will describe today, it's an evolution of this process itself, the way that we have documented the big, big statistical process. And because the late edition was released at the end of 2017, fully aligned with the GSBPM. And it also had a big challenge. It was a big challenge for us because a lot of things were changing within the organization, especially our IT systems, and we have to align it both with the GSBPM and also with our organization structure and with our IT systems as well. So this was a big challenge for us, and it took a very comprehensive and multidisciplinary team to work all together. So just a brief explanation on the scope of the handbook. So we work together with five other national authorities that have the delegated statistical functions from Statistics Portugal, and we are talking about 310 activities that all together between Statistics Portugal and Honors produce around 1,000 of first moments of statistical releases. It means that we have to schedule, we have to organize, we have to plan everything in detail. The domains that we have are the same that we have in the catalog for statistical production in Eurostat. So it means that the handbook tries to provide a guide for documenting and explaining how we are organized in the office as well, and applied also to other national authorities. So it means that the advantages for documenting the process itself, it's not different from any other NSI. I think it's the same. We just put what is in our handbook. Our handbook, it's in Portuguese only, so I can share with you, but still it's still only in Portuguese. But I would just like to highlight some of the items that for us in our office is extremely important. First, the communication issue. It facilitates very, very keen the way that we communicate with each other, not only internal, but with other national authorities, both national and internationally. The way that it promotes standardization, because it's very easy, especially when you have to plan activities with the IT system, if you don't have standardized tasks or a lot of standardized items to produce, there is a big dispersion of the way that you describe your own process. So it helps to close a little the scope of the way you say what you are planning itself. So it promotes standardization. So it supports the planning process. The fact that it provides the map of the process is also very important for young people that goes inside the office, because they can see themselves very well where they are in the process as a whole, him or her. So it's very important also for tutorial matters. And last but not least, we already talk about ISO and certification and whatever. So for auditing, it's absolutely necessary, because if you have to define the scope of an auditing activity, you have to define exactly where you are and what you are going to check in the review activity, together with the requirements of an ISO certification or whatever review. And just to make a little, very little short story about the evolution of our attempts to describe our process, we started in 97 with a very, very small handbook. And you can see, it's in Portuguese, so the intention is not for you to read, but the scheme was very simple. We would just divided between surveys and derived statistics, like the ones that are compiled from administrative sources. And the major accomplishment about this first handbook was that it was not it didn't say anything new, but it systematized what we did in the office, and that was something new at the time. And the other fact was we started with this first handbook to start introducing the ISO philosophy, not only describing tasks and procedures, but also responsibilities and documentations to produce along the process. Then, some years afterwards, we had two versions, one in 2005 and another one in 2006, and then another one in 10, more or less aligned with the GSBPM. At that time, we introduced this idea of a matrix, putting a fourth layer of tasks, of a total of 126 tasks. And these tasks were the ones that were entitled of having responsibilities and documentation to produce. So if we look at the scheme, it was a little more complex, but still but still simple. So the major improvement was this matrix, which was composed of a very comprehensive detail of the tasks with responsibilities and production documentation to produce along the process. And then we had the peer review, of course, in 2014 and 2015, all of us had. And we had the recommendation all together, and we agreed that now we are going to put it fully aligned with the GSBPM. And then we had some good things about it, and some difficulties that we tried to overcome because of the changing environment in terms of IT development. What we did was we tried to match the previous handbook together with the GSBPM, putting in a very, very systematized way a third layer underneath the sub-process of the GSBPM. What you can see here is the model of the GSBPM adapted from the last version 5 of the UNES, but we have it in Portuguese. But we kept it the English terminology as well. So it's very important for us as a Portuguese-speaking country to have also the English version of the items, because it facilitates a lot the communication between the projects that we are in together at European level and international, because everybody is, in a way, using the model itself. So what did we do with the GSBPM? A very short story. First, the approach is the same. We kept all the boxes, all the philosophy. It follows the flexible and interactive sequence as well, and the applicability of certain phases as well. And it depends on some types of the activities. So what we incremented was this third layer in a very systematic way, because the GSBPM also has a third layer of description, but in our case it's much more into a much more detail, that demonstrates that the responsibilities, because it's a very in-house document, so it's at level of this third layer that we see who is responsible for what should you do, where are the recommendation that you have to follow, etc. And I will just show you for exemplification an example of a task. So you can see, for instance, this is a line of a task of the metrics for the fourth layer, and in every task you can see exactly where you are in the GS BPM. So in this case it's a task concerning reviewing the collection instrument, I mean the questionnaire, and you are in the design phase and in the design sub-process collection. So everything is aligned with GS BPM. Then we have a sequence. It means that we have a number for the 115 tasks, so every sequence of the tasks are completely identified in the system. Then you have the responsibilities. One unit is responsible, not two units are responsible, just one unit is responsible. In this case are the subject matter department of the survey or the activity that we are dealing for, and also the data collection and the IT system are participants in the tasks. Then afterwards you have the applicability of the task, because it's the philosophy of DGS BPM. It's a new activity or it's an ongoing activity, because some of the boxes and some of the tasks don't apply altogether. And also the applicability in terms of type of activity, census, sampling, administrative sources, etc. And then I will tell you about this area of comments, which is really very important. The area of comments is where it's very tutorial, is where you make the link between the model and the IT systems. Because the tasks that we have described in the metrics are also inside in the new IT system that we have delivered this year for the planning system. And in this area, you will see the documentation that you have to provide for the task, the documentation that you have to have for your orientation, like policies, procedures that will help you to produce the task. And at the end, you have this CGNET task, which are the codes of the tasks of the model that are inside the IT system, meaning that everything is standardized. When I'm doing a planning activity, I will have these tasks all together in that system, and then when I'm making a schedule for the year, I will have the same tasks of DGS BPM in the system as well. And here, for instance, it's an example of where you have amostragem. Amostragem is the word for sampling. So inside the system, you have the sub-process of the GSPPM and then all the tasks that you have introduced and that are related to the sub-process itself. This is an example of the continuation of the metric. So it's not very beautiful, but it works. And then just closing my talk, I would just like to say something about geospatial area and geospatial tasks. We have a big discussion in the office with the colleagues that are working with geo-infrastructure within the groups of Eurostat, and we decided in our case not to introduce boxes, but to introduce tasks in what concerns the geospatial data infrastructure, meaning that we have a total of 13 tasks that very well illustrate the tasks concerning the geospatial information. So, next steps. We have the handbook. We are trying to implement it as much as possible together with our colleagues. It's a very hard work. It's a living document. It never stops. So it means that we are always working on improvements at task level, especially in what concerns this third layer. Expanding the mapping documentation, it's a big challenge. It's a never-ending story, as Maria normally says, because it's really important. And it has been a true journey, but it has been a good journey since 20 years now. So I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'm available for any question if you want. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much, Maria. So I think this is also a big contribution to catch up with modernization of statistics and to put in tasks that are not in GSBPM expressed explicitly now. So we move to the last contribution. The last contribution of the session was prepared by a team of authors, Petra Blažić, Barbara Kutin-Slatnar, and Tina Oswald from Statistical Office of the Republic of Slovenia. And the title is Documentation System, StatDoc, a cornerstone for efficient management of statistical surveys. It will be presented by Petra Blažić. Let me say about Petra a few words. Petra has been working in the General Methodology Department in Statistics Slovenia since autumn 2008. She started working in the field of sampling for business surveys. For the last few years, her main assignment is introducing into production internal metadata-driven application. She was a member of the team project which developed metadata-driven procedures for standard error estimation, aggregation, tabulation, and statistical disclosure control. In the last few years, she is also very active in the preparation of the standardized framework for the internal documentation of statistical surveys at source. Petra, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So hello to all of you, and thank you, Ms. Maria, for introducing me. As it was already mentioned, I'm Petra Blažić from Slovenia, and I will talk about our internal documentation system. Well, documentation is something we all love it, isn't it so? Here, I would please for a bit of cooperation. So could you please raise hands, all of you who think that most people at your organization like writing documentation? And I'll try to come closer.
Everybody.
Well, I didn't see a lot of hands, actually none of it. And it was not just because of the bad light, but because the hands were not raised. So maybe I should ask question differently. Could you now please raise hands, all of you, who think that most of people at your organization don't like writing documentation? So do not like writing documentation. Please raise hands. Okay, now I see much more hands. So actually, if we don't like writing documentation, then we just won't write it, and the problem is solved. But actually, what can happen later? I hope from the last rows you see it, otherwise I will read what's written in the cloud. Actually, here are three men staring at the computer, and one says, wow, this software is quite complex, where can I find documentation? And then the other two men just look at each other, and the one is explaining to another, he has just finished college. So below that it's written, we all had our dreams. Actually, this I wouldn't like to be in the shoes of this one who has just finished college, then start to work with a complex software for which there is no documentation. And actually, it's similar in our statistical process. So if someone is absent for a longer period of time and we need to replace him, we will have a lot of difficulties if there won't be any documentation. We will need much more time. So that's why it's not good not to write documentation. But, believe it or not, but there also exist people who have everything documented. And that's the next picture. Well, this man is sitting in the office of someone else who is, let's say, on a sick leave, and he needs to continue his work. For sure, there is a document where a written task, what he needs to do next, what are the next steps of the processing of the survey. But actually, in the time that he will find appropriate document, the data should have already been published. So if we have documentation, a lot of documentation, but that it's not prepared in standardized way and not organized, then it's not very helpful. So to avoid those two situations, and also for other reasons, SURS decided that it's necessary to standardize our internal documentation system. So special working group was established, working group for documentation, with the following tasks. First pillar is about the content structure. So we needed to prepare the meaningful and standardized content structure of the documentation. And then the second thing, which is very important, because the content, it's not enough. You need to have good organization of management behind it, that the documentation will be updated. And the third, it was about the technical environment. We needed to prepare the new technical environment, so new software for further management of the documentation. And all those three pillars are building our so-called STADOC system. It's our internal system for documentation on the implementation of statistical surveys at source. So now I will try to detailed describe all of those three pillars. First is the content. We followed a source process model, which is adjusted GSBPM model. So with the faces and sub-processes below. And actually, the basis for the content structure are our guidelines for quality assurance. There is comprehensive description and guidelines for correct implementation of individual phases. We also wanted that this documentation would be useful to different user groups, to different user needs. So that's why we decided that the best way is to prepare the multi-level system that combines general or basic information with the detailed implementation information. And this system looks like this. So on the first level, we have one standardized document where there are just basic informations about the survey. Then on the second level, we also have standardized documentation. So for each phase, there is one standardized document in which our survey methodologists describe their the processes, the sub-processes below each of the phase. And then in the third level, we have informations and documents. Some of them are standardized and some not. So in that level, here are very detailed informations like implementational documents, how to do some part of the sub-process or the whole sub-process. So if anyone wants to get just basic informations about the survey, he will take a look into the first standard document. But if someone else will need to continue the processing, like those two men that I was showing you before the picture, then they will look to the implementational documents. So that's the level three. Okay, that was about the content. I said that the next pillar is organizational aspect. So what you see here, it's onion. Why? Because it has a lot of different layers and they are connected among each other. And it's the same with our role of responsibility. It's divided among a lot of people and it's complex and connected among each other. So it goes hierarchically from the survey methodologist who is responsible for preparing documentation at the time and regularly updating it, then to the head of the section who's responsible for optimal organization of work and takes a look to the documentation, gives some remark, then to the head of divisions and top management who are familiar with our annual plan of preparing and updating the documentation and how it was achieved. That's not all. We also have our STADOC working group. So this is the working group for documentation, which is responsible, actually established the system, and is responsible for regularly updating it and upgrading it. Then there are division STADOC coordinators. Oh, here's the pointer. So actually, they are the link between documentation working group and the survey methodologist of their division. Okay. Then we also have this STADOC, our working group for documentation, cooperates with the working group for processes and with the owners of the sub-processes and phases. And the last, there are also other employees involved, which I mean they are the people from our infrastructural sectors, which help preparing some part of documentation regarding technical things, like the link to the SAS program code, where is the program for some part of the sub-process, or the names of the data table that were used in the process. So that's about the organizational aspect. We will take a look also at the technical environment. That's the third pillar. So first we wanted our survey methodologies to learn about the content, how to prepare it, to learn about the management of documentation. So that's why we didn't want to focus so much on technical environment. It was just important that we have one single entry point so that all people could take a look to the documentation of the others. So that's why we prepared temporary solution in which is intranet site made in SharePoint environment. Our survey methodologist then uploaded documentation in this web page. We analyzed it and also took into account the feedbacks of survey methodologists when preparing this new stable environment. And this is Tadoc application. Here you can see the application mask of user interface. It's in Slovenian, so probably you don't understand anything, or maybe just something. But actually, I just want to say that in the next months, we are going into production with this application. And in the next 2 weeks, we are starting with the courses for our employees how to use this application. Because the courses about how to prepare documentation in the new system have already been. So this is just technical course about using new application. So to conclude, I would say that the one of the biggest achievements is that documentation for more than 180 surveys have been prepared in the new system. So that's internal documentation. And besides all positive things that this system or any system of our internal documentation provides, besides all things I've already mentioned during presentation, I would like to say that we can now easily compare between surveys, which gives us analytical value. Actually, we have quick insight into critical points of the implementation of survey. It's also information based as a basis for continuous learning and planning on improvement, not only for the particular survey, but for the whole individual phase or individual process. And actually, what is also very important, I think, is that preparation and updating of the documentation became now a planned part of survey implementation. So that's about it. Of course, we have a lot of future challenges, but I can't reveal you everything. So you're more than welcome to read our paper to get some information about future challenges. I would also like just thank you for cooperation and for at the beginning of presentation with raising hands, and thank you for paying attention.
Thank you very much for a very interesting contribution. As I said before, it's something which is extremely necessary despite the fact that we do not love it, but doesn't matter. So, dear colleagues, we had 5 very interesting contributions in this session, and now we have time for a short discussion. I am opening the floor discussion, also Twitter discussion. We will use the new technology. Probably it is, at least for me, the first experience as for Twitter. So one note before you ask a question or say your comment, tell us your name and the institution you come from. I'm very sorry, I cannot see you because it is completely dark in front of me, but our assistant will help us probably with micros and so. So who will ask the first question, please? So I wanted to... Mirko Hetzner. Yes. This is a question. For Mirko Hetzner, this is the Statis, as far as I know. Is there a dedicated quality handbook next to the statistical procedures handbook? If yes, how do they interact? So to whom should be this? Is there a dedicated quality handbook next to the statistical procedures handbook? Maybe to you, to Petra, maybe? Who has? Maria?
This is on? Yes. If there is any other statistical handbook, is the question? So in our case, I don't know if I understood the question. So we have a more overarching document that has to do with quality in general, but not with the statistical process, but with the commitments. We call it the quality policy or quality charter, whatever. So it's a more overarching process. And then underneath this level, if you take several levels of documentation, that comes this handbook for documenting the big process of statistical production. So in our case, this is the way we do it.
Maybe I also, I'm not sure if I understand correctly the question, so I will also tell our practice. So actually we have some handbook regarding the some part of the processes, like the handbook for time series, editing, quality indicators, but the basic are also these guidelines for quality assurance, where there is description for, not just description, but also guidelines, how to do each part of the process, how to do each sub-process, so for correct implementation of this. And it's very useful also for our new employees who gets information about how the system works and what they should do. And when writing documentation, we often refer to these documents, or they get their more information what should be written in that part of the sub-process.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe I could add something to it. We have, for example, in our office, so-called quality manual, which describes the complete system as such, and of course, so-called handbooks or instructions or methodological instruction, more or less, or internal directives on specific issues that are linked actually to a quality manual. So altogether, it creates a unity, so it one integrated whole. I don't know whether Mirko is here. I cannot see you. I hope we received a lot of comments from him, just comments. We see that this is probably the only question we received here. So maybe other questions from you, from audience?
Hello, so my name is Silvan Zamit. I come from the National Statistics Office of Malta. I'm mainly into methodology and data collection, so when it comes to these topics, I'm a kind of an ally, okay? So I'm one who thinks that documentation is actually needed. However, I have one very basic and common question to address to all persons in the panel. How did you manage to get the users on board? Because we followed a very similar path in the past 2 years in Malta when we actually tried to introduce business process documentation in our statistical office. And the hardest part was to sell the idea and to bring the users on board. At every different stage, we had to kind of prove our users wrong, that documentation is indeed necessary. And we also gave examples and training, but that always proved to be the most challenging part. So I'm curious to see how you actually address this issue in your respective countries. Thank you.
I recognize it. It takes a lot of time. I think maybe 10 years by Statistics Netherlands. You have to oblige. If you're making statistics, you have to decide how to spend your time. Everyone has to decide it. And if you're making statistics, you like to make statistics and you don't like to write about the procedures. So you have to take care on our website that it's on their top list. So it has to be obliged and it has to be controlled in a certain way. And to my opinion, for us, that was the only way we could achieve it. Others?
Users are our driven force, so we have to put them on the board whatever we do. In that respect, we have in our quality charter, for example, if you go, it's in English in our case, but I suppose it's the same everywhere. Everybody has, in a way, commitments towards the users, the way you relate to them, and what are your really commitments that can be measurable in a way for your performance. Concerning documentations with users, we don't have a relation in what comprehends the awareness for them, but in the opposite way. So we ask them, for instance, by customer satisfaction surveys, for metadata, for instance, so all the information that we have that have to normally comply with their needs. And we try as much as possible, I think it's a big struggle for all of us, to try to understand what really are their needs in order not to complicate too much, and because they are different and so forth. So it's our main approach that we have. So, but if you look at our main quality handbooks or charter, so clients or users that are the users of information of statistics are our main driven force, of course. You want to say something?
Okay, I can add a bit. Yes, of course, it takes time, and it takes much time to work with people and to get them this understanding that documentation is needed. And I would say this is as well a matter of development of this quality culture in-house. And what helps in our case, bilateral talks. Really, you go to each division, each structural unit, and work bilaterally with them. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Maybe I could add something. Maybe I could tell it as a good practice. In our office, the top documentation, it means the top description of a statistical production process or other supporting processes, was actually written by top managers in our organization. So I want to say that a positive signal was sent, since the top management was involved in working out of the documentation. So of course it was, I don't want to say that everybody agreed, but at least a positive signal was sent from the top. So maybe this is also one of approaches that could be used. It doesn't mean that, of course, the top management wrote the documentation by themselves, but they were involved very heavily, and they actually started, let's say, positive perceptions of this process. So the next question, please.
Yes. Where is our micro? By me. Microphone is by me. Do you see me?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Ariana Mina-Ramic. I'm from Federal Statistical Office of Germany. And firstly, I wanted to thank you for your presentations. I find them very nice, very good. And my question had to do something with the last words from you. I wanted to ask how the panel group, after establishing the system, after starting to establish, I can imagine that nobody liked it, idea that nobody liked it, more work, but how is the situation now? When after establishing system for documentation, what is the reaction at one side from the top management, but also at the other side from the lower parts, from the working people who still have to produce, to adjust, and so on? Do they feel that their work is now easier or more, I don't know, more available for others and more understandable? Thank you.
Okay, I think that's the question for me. Actually, when we were preparing this system, the idea was also from the, let's say, the standard division and from the top management to build the system. And of course, at the beginning, no one wants to have extra work. But that's why you need to focus and give so much attention to the added value. And we also took a lot of time at the beginning when preparing the system. How to prepare it that the different user groups will satisfy to their needs. So actually at the beginning and the first time, it takes more time for them to prepare the documentation. But actually, if for the people who have already some documents prepared and who knows their procedures well, it doesn't take so much time. So, but of course, the first time it's the most. And then for the updating of documentation, then they just need to check how it is, and then they just add some or change some part of the process where the, I don't know, methodology changed or the that part of the process was changed. So actually, it takes much less time after when you are just updating it. And I need to say that now they are more satisfied, and because it's very useful. If someone new comes, it's very helpful for them. Otherwise, the survey methodologist would have to explain to the others what he's doing, and now he can refer him to this documentation, and when he has the questions, then he answers on them. So in a way, it's also less time for explaining, because at least the other people who are interested in this have some more information. And the next step, of course, is also that to improve quality, that now it will be, and especially with the application, it will be easier to compare among surveys. So in that way, we want to improve our quality, and in that way, our survey methodologist would also get some idea what someone else is doing. He can take a look to his documentation. He see what kind of methods, I don't know, for imputations, for example, are used, and then he can think if maybe that kind of method could be used for his. So I think that now it's much better than at the beginning when we needed a lot of time and effort to convince them to start preparing documentation.
Maria? Yeah, I can add on this. The first time, the starting point is difficult, because you then need from scratch to document everything. But afterwards, it's easy because you need just to update it. And returning to previous question, I forget to say that internal procedures helps a lot. For example, we established a procedure for this standardized description that for every product, when the product is released, at the same time, the standardized description should be in place. In our external web page. So when you have work plan, you have dates, and you follow. And how it helps now when the system is established, it helps a lot. And I would say the audience, which is employees of CSB, are happy. Why? First, when there are newcomers, new employees, they come and they really open our system, and they can read what to do, how to do, how are interrelations between structural units, all this. And of course, our managers are also happy. Why? Because when they have audits, internal audits or external audits, they always are happy to show this system and to explain how it works. Yeah, and as well for every employee, it works because every of us can learn what others do. You can read what other structural units do in what way. Yeah.
BIOS and Statistics Netherlands, all they said it's true, of course, there are advantages, but after 20 years of documentation, it's still punishment to do it. And I think if you ask, most of them will say, I had to. They oblige me, but I want to make statistics. So if you make a system, we don't have a real system, but that's the way it is. And you have to take it in account.
Okay, thank you very much. Somebody else? So maybe I add one experience of our office. Actually, the documentation is interlinked, so they use other documents as reference. And since they know that the other, if they read the document and they are obsolete a little bit, so it is no big help. So, and now the situation is so, to my positive surprise, that people come and say, oh, we have to update the documentation. Because there is threat, the other will use the obsolete documentation. So this is also a little bit some kind of driving force. But you are absolutely right that maintenance is also difficult. Also to produce the first documentation and also to maintain the validity, the update of the documentation. But maybe this could be a quite fine driving force. So, other questions, please?
There's a question up here. Hello.
Yeah.
Siobhan Carey from the Northern Ireland Statistics and Research Agency. Thank you for a really interesting set of presentations that shows there is hope. that we can crack this. But I've got two questions. First question is probably for Stats Netherlands. So what role does formal methods for continuous improvement play? I know that you're a Lean Six Sigma organization. So how has that helped change the culture and get people to understand the need for documentation? And my second question is rather a cheeky one. I think you've all said that, you know, beginning is difficult, staring at the blank page is always difficult. So would any of you be willing to share your electronic versions to save us reinventing the wheel?
You did ask about Lean Six Sigma and documentation, or just Lean Six Sigma? The documentation was already there. There was already good documentation. It can be better always, and of course, it's good if it doesn't feel like punishment, but it's what it is. Lean Six Sigma helped us to make the requirements of ISO more clear. ISO is very general, what it asks, and you have to find out the way you introduce it. And Lean Six Sigma and LOM, Lean Operational Management, gives tools to do it. So that was very useful for us.
And the second question, could you repeat?
Second question was, anyone willing to share their electronic documentation processes so we don't have to reinvent it?
We will share. Okay. Yeah. In Portuguese, but we will share. No, I'm joking. But what we do is we have a short summary in our website in English version. We don't have yet the English version because it's quite big, but I can give you, no problem at all. But I think it's worthwhile because I didn't invent the wheel. I think nobody here invented the wheel. So we learned a lot from others, and I think that's the spirit. And just another question, because there was a comment that it's the end of the session, for the end of the session, so this is a question of statistical culture. We also have a very small team inside the office that helps others to do this very burdensome work. So I think that we have to acknowledge them for their work. We have a leitmotiv, which is to facilitate others' work, because they are here to do statistics. They are not here for planning or whatever, but even though it's a very, very important phase of the statistical process, but they try to help as much as possible, even though we know that it's hard and very burdensome. But anyway, it's a necessity.
Okay, for us, I can say that, of course, knowledge transfer is very important. We all learn from this. And, of course, we are willing to share our guidelines for quality assurance. They are not in Slovenian, but in English. So they are also published at our webpage. So you can check guidelines there, or I can send you a link. And actually, about the internal documentation of specific survey, it's in Slovenian, and it's internal documentation, so that part it's not for sharing, and it wouldn't be useful for you. But in general, what I think it could be useful, and you could use it also for preparing maybe your documentation or for the processes, these guidelines for quality assurance would be helpful. So I can send you a link.
So the last question, please, very last question.
Thank you, Geni Ružić from Slovenia. My question will be very short, especially maybe for the Dutch colleague or maybe Latvia. Because you already get this certification for ISO 27001, nevertheless, Eurostat already launched the project for the information security with the aim to enable exchange of trade individual data. My question is whether with this you got this certification at the same time also fulfill all the requirements which is in this checklist for the information security by Eurostat. Thank you.
we have done the Eurostat ESS certification tool. It's a short list. So if you do ISO 27001, you have more than that. And I think that it's better to do more in this case, because Eurostat is too little, too small. But it's easy to fulfill Eurostat if you have ISO 27001.
I can really say the same. When we prepared for this 27001 certification, one of the tasks was this Eurostat requirements, but of course all the standard requirements, all the national requirements. So everything was this complex issue.
Okay. So thank you very much for for an excellent session, I would say, the complete session. I would like to thank all authors for excellent contributions. I would like to thank you for your question and your comments. And I am closing the session. I wish you a nice day. I wish you an excellent conference, and of course, enjoy.